The Masifa here gives a very nice introduction to this Mishnah that we're up to here on Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis on the bottom. And the background for this Mishnah is the halacha of Shelo Lishma, which means that every karbon has a name, it has a category, it's classified, and you have to have a machshav of Lishma, not a machshav of Shelo Lishma. No way, Max. You can take a copy of a page I gave out as an introduction, if you like. And the Mishnah is focused on Shechitas HaPesach. Now,
this is interesting because this is exactly what we're doing in Zvachim right now.
Great, excellent. This is the overlap between Pesachim and Zvachim. Now, in terms of Pesach, we have, like in any other carbon, four avodos. And every one of those avodos is susceptible to what we call a machsheves shelo lishma. We'll speak about other machsheves that are also improper. But in the case of shchita, in the case of kaval sadam, in the case of holocha sadam, in the case of zrika sadam, if he has a machsheva during any of those four avodos, which are the main four avodos, for another karbon other than karbon pesach, then the karbon is posel. And when I say posel, I mean you have to basically throw it out. There's nothing you can do. It's insoluble. And the reason for that is that the Torah says that Pesach has to be brought lishma, and any avoda, if it's done, if it's performed, shelo lishma, will posel the karbon. Now, when we talk about shelo lishma and karbon Pesach, that's just one example of a machshava poseles. We can speak about another couple of examples. Number one, we can speak about chutzlum komo, which means that the carbon has to be eaten within the city limits. And if he has in mind, do you want to join us? You're certainly invited. This is a Gemara Shia, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, great. I wish I had an extra Gemara for you, but we ran out of Gemara.
So. I understand, first time.
Yeah, but what you can do is you can take a copy of this page. At least that's better than nothing.
Okay.
So one of the cases of a machshava poseles is what we call chutz lizmano, which means that during any of the four major primary avodos, he had a machshava, this kohen, that the basar should be eaten outside of his allotted place. That machshava of machsheves chutz lemkomo creates a psul in the karbon. Another example, which is even more severe, is called chutz lizmano. The Korban Pesach could be eaten during the night of Tezvav b'Nisan, but not beyond daybreak in the morning. And he had a machshava at the time of one of the four avodos to eat the basar of the Pesach on the next morning, on Tezvav in the morning. That's called a machshava of chutz lizmano.
How serious is this machshava?
What I want to tell you. That the serious and the severity of this machshava, in the case of chutz lizmano, is such that the carbon itself not only is posel, but we go even beyond that. And that's called pigul. Are you familiar with that term?
Yes, that wasn't my question. Oh. Why do you have a fleeting thought?
Well, as long as he declares it. Once he makes that declaration and he's saying, I intend to eat this meat tomorrow, which is called chutz lizmano, then the carbon automatically becomes pigul.
So you're saying machshava, but you actually need to say something.
Correct. Okay. Even though, again, you'll see in the Mishnah, the word is machshava, but in the Shita, at least the Rashi and Tosis, I'm not getting into other Shitas, right. But it's got to be an amira. He's got to make an absolute declaration, otherwise we don't read his mind.
Okay.
So that's called chutz lizmano, chutz lemkomo. So if you take a look, for example, on the page, I don't know, Brian, if we have a copy for you, maybe we'll get a copy for you. I handed out a copy of an introductory page to this Mishnah. You'll see that he says that the Kohen who's makriv, if he has a machshava, which is a machshava poseles in any one of the four avodos, that's going to passel the Korban Pesach. The first such example would be Shelo Lishma. He has in mind, for example, that this Pesach is going to be Nikrav as a Korban Ola rather than as a Korban Pesach, or alternatively as a Korban Chatos. Whatever machshava for Shelo Lishma he has in any of the four avodos, the Pesach is posel. Now, what we're going to talk about in a few minutes is a distinction between bismano and shelo bismano. So right now, just to make life easier for ourselves, we're going to assume that this machshava was within the time framework for the carbon, for the akrova, the carbon pesach. What is the time framework for akrova's carbon pesach? When is the earliest time that you could start the shechita of a carbon pesach as the first of the avodas? Correct. Midday. It's got to be Bein Harbayim on the 14th in the afternoon after Chatzos Hayom. So if, let's say, he's got a Karban Pesach in front of him, and everything is ripe and ready for the Shechita, the Karban, to start the Avoda, and the Kohen declares that this Basar is going to be eaten tomorrow morning, on the 15th in the morning, the Karban becomes Pigel. And Chutz L'Zmano creates this very severe halach of Pigul. What's the status of Pigul? Does anybody know?
If you burn them.
If somebody eats it?
Of course.
It's chayv karis. A carbon pasul, you're not allowed to eat. But if you eat it, you're not chayv karis. In the case of Pigul, you're chayv karis. So that's number one. Number two, if you take a look at your introductory page, he has a case of Shinui Bailim. Shinui Bailim means that, let's say, the Bailim of the Karban, every Karban has a Bailim who brought the Karban, we'll call him Reuven, and he had in mind this Kohen during one of the Avodos that he's being Makriv the Karban on behalf of Shimon. That's called Shinui Bailim. Until now we've been talking about Shalom L'Shma Shinu Kodesh, which means instead of Pesach he shechted it for the purpose of an Ola. Now we're talking about a case where he shechts the Karban Pesach not for Reuven but for Shimon. Now in the case of Karban Pesach we generally have many Bailim, multiple Bailim. What's that called?
Chabura.
That's called the Chabura, that's called the Menuyim, which means that we appoint a representative of our group. We all have that card, you know, that you swipe. So we all have the membership card in that particular group. And he goes ahead and he purchases on our behalf a Karban Pesach, a lamb for the Karban Pesach. That lamb is owned jointly by all the members of the Chabura. And they are the Bailei HaKarban. Now, in the case of Karban Pesach, what is considered Shinui Bailim? And there are many, many different issues here. You could talk about a case where he has in mind, for the sake of, we'll call him Yisachar. You know, he's not even one of the first five who are money on the Pesach. You might have a case where he has in mind both for Reuven, who's money on the Pesach, and for Yisachar, who's not part of the Chabura. So there are many different, shall we say, manifestations and different scenarios of Shinui Bailim. Now, what happens in the case of Shinui Bailim? So he writes over here, he says that if he has a Karban Ola, let's say for example in a classical case of Karban Ola, and he has in mind a different Karban, let's say Shlomim, that's called Shalom Lishma, that doesn't passel a Karban. But in the case of Karban Pesach, if he has in mind for the sake of an Ola, for the sake of a Chatos, for the sake of a Shlomim, that's already considered Shalom Lishma. And that passels the Karban Pesach on any of the four Avodos. Now, if the Karban becomes possel, then he says that Yesh Mehem Sheposelis Sakarban Legamre, if the Machshava completely passels the Karban, then Tzarech Lahotzio Sola Beis HaSreifa, we have to burn the Karban. Yesh Mehem, there's another possibility, Shakarban Kosher, but Habailim Lo Yotzi Dechovosa, meaning the Bala Karban has to replace this Karban with a second Karban. But the Karban itself still remains Kosher, which means that if he had a Machshava Haposeles in Shchita, for example, in the case of a Karban Ola, he had in mind L'Shem Shlomim, then we'll go through the other three Avodos, and we'll be Makriv the Karban. It's Kashiv, just that the person who's Chayim in Ola is going to now have to replace the Ola with a second Karban. That's called Lo Olu L'Bailim L'Shem Chov. That's the first Mishnah in Masechta Zvachim.
Who pays for it?
And he'll have to pay for it.
It wasn't his fault.
Yeah, the question is, can he sue the Kohen for damages? And that's a sugi Bava Kama. Do you know what that sugi is called? It's called Hezek She'eno Nikar, which means if somebody damages a person without changing the physical appearance of the object. And that's a machlokis, whether or not he's chayev to pay damages, maybe he's chayev midrabbanon, maybe he's not chayev midoraisa. So that's a sugya bavakam. Okay. Now, what happens when the fourth avoda was complete and then there was a machshava poselis? For example, what's the fourth avoda that clinches the kaparas hakarbon?
Zrika.
So let's say after Zrika, he had a machshava during, let's say, the Aktara Seimurim, the last of the avodos after Zrika is called Haktara Saimurim, which means that certain fats, we'll call them chelev, have to be burnt on the Mizbeach. And in that case, the fats are not considered a primary avoda. What do I mean a primary avoda? There are only four primary avodos. What determines, what defines a primary avoda? How do I measure and I decide to classify this avoda as primary?
Because of the
machshava? No. Primary means it's critical. What do I mean by critical? It's indispensable. And if you omit it, the carbon is possible. So for example, if the man, the Kohen, did Shechita, he did Kabbalah Saddam, he did Holocha Saddam, everything was set, and he didn't do Zrika Saddam, the carbon is possible. Why? Because these four avodos are the critical avodos. And those are called avodas hadamim that all lead up to the zrika sadam. The avoda that goes beyond zrika, which is called haktar saimurim, is not a critical avoda. So what happens, for example, he did the zrika, and then the emurim went the way of all flesh. You know, they floated up to the heavens. You know, a bird came down and swooped it up, or it became tame, and therefore it's not roi, or it became yotze, it was taken out of the azara, and therefore it's possible. In such a case, the carbon is still kosher. So therefore, a machshava at the time of Haktaras Emurim, let's say he has a machshava that he's going to eat the basar outside of the azara, that would not be a machshava apostel. So that's what he points out here. If you take a look, he says, and maybe we'll close the door, he says, im chashav machsheves psul, bishar avodos, meaning beyond the four avodos ha'ikarios, means the primary critical avodos.
Where then are you reading?
I'm reading on the last line on the right side. Do you see kigon? The last three words on the right side in the text itself. Don't look at the footnotes. Kigon haktara seimurim ala mizbeach ein ha'machshav ha'posel sakarbon. Why? Because haktara seimurim is not a critical, indispensable avoda. There are only four critical avodos, which are called avodos ha'ikarios. So therefore, if he would have a machshava poselsa at the time of Haktaras Haimurim, nevertheless, that would not passel the korban.
Wouldn't passel the korban, but if you had that machshava, and then someone ate it after the time, and you had that machshava, would that be... I know that the korban is good, but would have a denafigo?
Well, I generally assume, again, until proven otherwise, that
it's only these four.
If he had a machshava posels during Haktaras Haimurim, that would not have any impact whatsoever. It just doesn't register.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is a machshava posel? So we mentioned, let's go over it again. Number one, you'll see on the left column, Aleph, is machsheves chutz lezmano. That means during the avodah he expected to do either another avoda chutz lezmano, or to eat the basar chutz lezmano, or to be makter the emurim chutz lezmanom. Everything has its own zman. So let's say, for example, he would do the shechita, and at that point he declares that he's going to do the zrika sadam tomorrow. The zrika sadam is only until shkia sachama of that day. That would be a classical case of machsheves chutz lezmano. We have another case where he has a machshava that during his avoda, whatever it is, his shechita, whatever, he's going to be makter the emurim after the zman, after the allowed time. Or he wants the basar hakarban to be eaten out of the allowed time. That's called the most severe of all the machshavas psulos, because that's called the machsheves pigul. That's called chutz lizman. And that not only passes the carbon and we have to burn it, but moreover, if somebody eats from the carbon, he's chay of karis. And this is derived from Vayikra Zayin, V'im he'ochel ye'ochel mipsar zevach shlom b'yom ha'shlishi. The Torah there is addressing the case of shlomim, which you're allowed to eat for 2 days, but he has an achila on the third day, that's called chutz lezmano, is lo ye'rotze. The carbon is not ola, it's not a carbon that's kosher. and then pigul yia becomes pigul, and the Torah says va'nefesh ocheles mimenu avonotisa, he's chayev kares for eating from that basar. Because whenever it says hamakriv oso, the makriv means the person who has a machshava. Here he had a machshava of chutzus mano, and therefore the basar, the carbon becomes what? Pigul va'ochel mimenu chayev kares. Then we go down to a lower level, one notch lower. That's called the machsheves chutzlum koma. The kohen hamakriv has in mind that the zrika is not going to be on the mizbeach, that the emurim are not going to be burnt on the mizbeach, that the carbon is going to be eaten outside the azara. For example, now if you take a look at he has a footnote here. Number Chaf Hey, okay, that goes back to Chutzus Mano L'Mochras, and then he has a footnote Chaf Ches at the bottom. In Kodshe Kodshim, it means he can only eat it in the Azor. In Kodshim Kalim, he can eat it all over Yerushalayim. And in such a case, if he has a Machshava Chutz for Achila Chutz LaAzor, in the case of Kodshe Kodshim, which is Chatus V'Yosham, or a Karban Ola, but Ola again is not a Nechal, so that's not relevant. Or he has a Machshava in the case of Kachim Kalim, Chutz L'Yushalayim, that's called a Machshava of Chutz L'Mkoma. Machshava Zu Kala, Kala with a Kuf, we're not talking about a bride here. And it's a little bit lighter, which means that this Machshava is not the same severity as Chutz L'Zmano. It creates a psul in the carbon, we have to burn the carbon, but it's not considered Pigul, and therefore the person who eats it is only Chayev for a lav, but he's not Chayev Kares. Then we get to the third machshava that I mentioned before called Shini Hashem. That means during one of the avodos, the Kohen has in mind that the karban should be on behalf of someone other than the Bailim. And here, he says in this wonderful introduction that it depends on what karban you're dealing with. He says, Berova karbanos, in most of the cases, even though the Kohen has a machshava of Shinui Bailim, nevertheless the Karban is kosher, which means that let's say during the Shechita he has in mind Shimon instead of Reuven the Bala Karban, we're going to go ahead and we're going to be Makabal Adam, etc. Zrikas Adam, the Karban is kosher. Ella, and here's that key phrase that we have to memorize, Shlo Olu LaBailim L'Shem Chovasa, meaning they have to replace this Karban with another Karban. That's as far as most karbonos are concerned. However, there are two exceptions on the constellation of karbonos. One of them is very relevant to Masechet Pesachim, that's a karbon Pesach, and the other is a karbon Chatas. Chatas is uniquely related to the Bailim. No one else has any relationship to this karbon. It's for his chet. It's a kapar of his chet. And therefore, if Reuven is bringing this karbon, and the Kohen has in mind that this karbon is for the sake of Shimon, the karbon is pasul. In fact, again, we're not going to get to that today, but in the case of chatas, the demands of kavana are very strict. Let's say, for example, instead of having in mind that this chatas should be brought for the sake of achilas dam, which is a chiyuv kares, he has in mind for the sake of achilas chelev, which is a chiyuv. So that's a different chet, and it's a different karbon, and that's also called a machshava poselis. And if he has in mind not for Reuven, who is the chote and is chayev in this karbon, but for Shimon, the chatos is psula. It's not just eino ol l'shem bayil l'shem
chol. How about all the other words, the individual bringing it on behalf of themselves? In other words, a mitzora, a woman that gives birth, there's all of those.
And the Kohen has in mind for someone else?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a sugya of Rav.
Although that sounds like the Chatos case, that if it's particular to that person,
right,
how can you have somebody else in mind when this Mitzora is coming back and bringing his garb?
So it's interesting that you ask this question. This is sugya called Rav. Rav is of the opinion that there are two types of karbonos. There's one karbon which is a machaper, and another category of a karbon which is called a machshir. And Rav holds that even though there's such an entity in halacha as a karbon without kapara, I'll give you an example in just a minute, but there's no such thing as a karbon a machshir without being machshir. So for example, the case of Mitzora, the purpose of the karbon is to be machshir the Mitzora, yeah, to come into the Beis HaMikdash, to eat kodshim. If the karbon, because it was brought shalol l'shma, which is called Asham Mitzora. Or, for example, the case of a Nazir who also has to bring a Korban Asham in order to be Machshir him and terminate his Nazirus, if it was brought Shalol Lishma, the Korban is possible. That's Rav Shita. Masha Enkin in Kapara, if you have a Korban that's not a Machshir but it's a Machaper, then the Korban might be viable even without the element of Kapara. So, for example, in almost all Kodshim, we say that if the Machshevas HaKoyim was Shalol Lishma, the Korban still remains Kosher. So it was a carbon ola, and he shefted for the sake of what? Shlomim. The carbon is kosher. Even though lo ola l'bayil l'shem chova, which means that the kapara will not be achieved, and only the replacement carbon, the second carbon, would generate a kapara, but the first carbon, even though we're being makriv, it is devoid of any kapara. So you can have a kapara, a carbon whose purpose is a kapara, but yet the carbon will still be meaningful and still be kosher without a kapara. But, says Rav, if you have a carbon which is a machaper, and then you add al shalol lishma, in which case the carbon is not ol abaylam, and therefore it's not a machshir, in such a case the carbon is possible. And that would apply to the four mechusrei kapara of zav, zava, yoledes, and mitzorah. It also applies to a nazir. And by the way, since we're in this period of time called Sfiras HaOmer, I'll mention to you that of all the karbanos of mincha, there's one mincha only where shalol lishma passes the karban according to Rav, and that's Minchas HaOmer. Why? Because if it wasn't Lishma, then this Omer is not capable of being Matir the Chadash. And that's the purpose of the Karban. So just like in the case of Machshirim, in Mechusa Kapar, the whole purpose of the Karban is what? To be Machshir. If he cannot do so because he had a Machshev Shalol Lishma, the Karban is possible, it's meaningless, it didn't achieve its goal. So too in the case of a Karban HaMatir, which is the case of the Omer, which is a Mincha that's brought in order to be Matir the Chadash, if he had in mind Shalol Lishma, the carbon is possible. Other menachos, whatever mincha you have, if you didn't have it in mind, then it's Ol L'Shem Bailam. Again, the exception, it's not Ol L'Shem Bailam, but the mincha is K'sheru. The exception to that rule is going to be Chatos, because again, Chatos is in a category of its own. Now, what happens with Shinui Bailam in the case of Karban Pesach? In the case of Chatos, we said that passes the carbon. What about Pesach? So if you take a look four lines before the end of this page, he says that there's a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, and the pasuk says, "Shomer es chodesh ha'aviv v'asisa pesach la'Hashem Elokecha." Okay, so Chazal say that the pasuk indicates that there's a machshavas shinui b'karbon, and that's ma'akiv in Karban Pesach. But now we have another pasuk. And the pasuk again says Pesach hu Hashem, ve'amartem zevach Pesach hu Hashem, and that also seems to indicate some sort of a shinui. Now again, if it was a shalol lishma, if he shechted the carbon Pesach for the sake of a chatos or an ola or whatever carbon, that we already know that the carbon is possible. Why did the Torah have to add a second pasuk? And that's called im eino inyan. Are you familiar with that? Who can raise their hand and tell me what im eino inyan means? It's one of the ways we darshan in a pasuk, yeah?
It doesn't apply in this halacha.
If it doesn't teach me any chiddush in this halacha, then we're going to apply it to a different halacha. We're going to take it like a lifted with a crane and place it down somewhere else. And here, we're going to darshan that this extra pasuk of Lashem is telling me Shinui Bailim. And Shinui Bailim is ma'akev in Karban Pesach, just as it's ma'akev in Chatos. Again, in Chatos, I understand very well why it's Likuma, because the whole raison d'etre of the Karban, the whole purpose of the Karban is for his chait, not for someone else's chait. But in the case of Karban Pesach, there's a gzeiras akasa that Shini Bailim passels the Karban. And on the next page, which I didn't give you, he has another two lines, which I don't think you have in the photocopy, do you? In which he writes that this machshava, which is called Shini Bailim, is included in our Mishnah. So the Mishnah we're about to study now on the Tesamid Beis, are you ready, guys? Are you psyched up for this Mishnah? I'm psyched up. This Mishnah is going to address the case of Shinui Bailim in Karban Pesach. and it's going to be repeated again at the beginning of Masechta Zvachim. But keep in mind, Pesachim comes before Zvachim, so we're going to get the Mishnah before Zvachim, and that's going to be Shinui Bailim and Shinui Lishma Shinui Kodesh in the case of Korban Pesach. So without further ado,
and just one question: when he asked about if they have a for the Metzora.
Right, Mechusa Kapara, Shalom.
So he has to bring another korban. It's a good korban, but
no, it's not a good korban according to Rav. Rav says that even though Shalom Lishma is not a psul in the korban, it's just that he has to replace it, but the korban is kosher.
Yeah.
And if at the time of the Shechita he had a Shalom Lishma, we're going to still go ahead with all the other three avodos and bring the korban on the Mizbeach with the Zrika. But the exception to that rule, says Rav, are these four cases of what's called Mechusa Kapara, because there the korban has no other purpose than to be machshir. And if it cannot achieve the machshir, because it's low all the Bible Shem Chavad, then the korban is possible.
Yes.
You have to throw it out and burn it in the base adeshen. You know, take it outside and crisp it up. Might be good for a campfire. I mean, that's a sugya psachim, whether or not. Yeah, whether or not you're allowed to be nene from the fire as the korban is going up in smoke, whether that's called me'ilah or not me'ilah. In any event, let's get back to our Mishnah. What does our Mishnah say? HaPesach sheshachto shelo lishmo. So we know already what's going to be the status of a Pesach that was shechted shelo lishmo. Let's say, for example, Rashi says, if you take the Mishnah, the first Rashi adds two words, l'shem, shlomim. Okay, we have to figure out why Rashi gave that example. He could have given many other examples. We'll see Mishnayos all over the place that give the example of Pesach Shalom Lishma. We had in mind L'shem Shlomim. My feeling is, I don't know if anybody's going to say this, so this is very precarious, Be'er Avon Mugbal, as we say, with limited liability, that I think Rashi wants to tell you, even if he had in mind L'shem Shlomim, Shlomim is not such a foreign karban as far as Pesach is concerned. In fact, if you talk about Korban Pesach the whole year round, meaning other than Yudalid B'Nisan, the status of the Korban Pesach is identical with that of a Shlomim. But on Yudalid, if he had in mind that he's shechting the Korban Pesach l'shem Shlomim, it's a psul in the Korban of Shalo l'shma. Okay. Let's go on. That's as far as Shechit is concerned. Now the Mishnah talks about the next Avoda online, and the next three Avodos, Kibel, Hilech, Vizorak. What is the Vav here? It's a Vav HaMachalik or a Vav HaMachaber? Anybody know? It's a Vav HaMachalik, meaning V'Kibel means O Kibel, V'Hilech means O Hilech, V'Zorak means O Zorak. Any one of the four. If he did that avodah shelo lishma for the sake of a shlomim, the carbon is possible. So if he was makabel adam, now kabbalas adam in kodshim is not just a technical action. You know, you and I might think, well, in order to get the dam over to the mizbeach, he has to receive the dam from the tzavora behema into a kli shoreis. No, kabbalas adam is an avodah that has no less significance than any other avodahs. Halacha is a problem. Because Rabbi Shimon says, one of the Tanoim, that halacha is just a technicality. If he did the shechita right next to the mizbeach, he doesn't even need halacha. So halacha is just a hechetimtza, it's a mechanical act, and it's not an avoda. But we pass like the Chacham against Rabbi Shimon, and therefore, even halacha sadam, as reflected in this Mishnah, has the status of an avoda, and a machshava posels during halacha would also be enough to pass the karba.
The halacha that we're referring to is taking the dam and putting it on the kira mizbeach.
Correct. In other words, he carries the mizrak, what's called, in other words, the kli shoreis, which has the dam in it, and he's makariv it to the mizbeach.
That's talking about halacha on the ramba of the mizbeach.
Okay, that's more complicated. Exactly what the status of the kevish of the mizbeach is, I don't know. You know, you really have to know. It seems that The Gemara has a discussion about Zrika Saddam on the Kevesh, where he actually was Zorik Saddam on the ramp. And the Gemara wants to know, is that called part of the Mizbeach? Because we paskin that even what's called a Zrika Shalobim Koma is also called a Zrika, and it's valid. Meaning, any part of the Mizbeach, even though the Torah requires that you put the Dam on a certain part of the Mizbeach, But nevertheless, if he violated that requirement, the carbon is still kosher, the zrika is still a zrika, as long as it's on the mizbeh. So then the Gemara has a whole discussion, what about kevesh? If he was zorik to daven on the kevesh is attached to the mizbeh, but it's not part of the mizbeh. We don't have any carbon that's brought anywhere on the kevesh. And in the as opposed to the mizbeach, where again you may designate a certain part, let's say, for example, in the case of the face of a chatus, you may need safon. In the case of a chatus primis, you need the heichal. You need the inside the kodesh. But the mizbeach is still the mizbeach. You know, it's always royal mizbeach. I'll give you another example. There's a principle, I don't want to confuse you because I'm going to just confuse myself. And that's called Im'olu lo yeridu, that if something is possible and it was on the Mizbeach, we don't take it down. The Mizbeach grabs onto it, so to speak. It's amazing how in Kodshim the Mizbeach is like a personality, it's like a live being. For example, Haktara on the Mizbeach is called Achilas Mizbeach. And the Mizbeach has sort of rights, and one of its rights is to grab onto something that's possible and say, I'm not giving this up. You know, don't pull it out of my hands, and I want to consume this possible. And the question is, would that apply to Kevesh? Does the Kevesh have a lochim olu lo yeridu, that once the possible, the psul carbon is up on top of the Kevesh? I don't think so, because I think a Kevesh is not, la loch is not part of the Mizbeach. Okay. Now the Mishnah gives us a more complicated case. What happens if the avoda that was done by the Kohen was lishmo vishalo lishmo? This guy is really schizophrenic. He's really got psychological issues here. He has both lishmo l'shem Pesach and a machshava l'shem shlomim. Now the question is going to be, how could he have these two machshavos? Like, you know, decide for yourself. And this is going to be our sugya. You know, one approach to this Mishnah is to say that he did one avodah l'shem Pesach, and then when he got to the second avodah, he said l'shem Shlomim. Another possibility is to say when he started the avodah, he declared it's l'shem Pesach. Then when he finished the avodah, he declared that it's l'shem Ola, l'shem Shlomim. I don't know. We're going to have to really, that's the subject really of tonight's shiur. But in any event, the Mishnah establishes that in such a case, lishmo v'shalo lishmo, the carbon is possible. So if I ask you, which of the two kavanos that he had, the machshava rishona, the machshava shnia, the tchila, the sof, which was more dominating in halach? Which was gavar, if I could use that term? The first or the second? No, I'm just saying, in the case of... No. Again, I'm asking a pedagogical question just to make sure that we're all on the same page. I'm not asking you a brilliant, lumdish question. I'm not asking you to sign a document here. I'm just saying, if the Mishnah says that Lishmo and Shalo Lishmo is possible, which of the two Machshavos is considered the more powerful one? The first or the second? The second. Excellent. Now the Mishnah goes on to say, what happens if he does it in the reverse order? Oh, he started with a machshava shalo lishmo, and then he did a machshava lishmo. And again the Mishnah says the carbon is possible. Which of these two machshavas now is primary? Is gavar. Now we're saying it's the second machshava. So it works in both ways. The machshava shalo lishmo, insofar as it's a mixture together with Lishmo, the Shalol Lishmo has the power to passel the carbon as a Machsheva Shalol Lishmo, even though he had an admixture of another Kavana, which was a redeeming Kavana of Lishmo. And it doesn't matter in which direction and in which sequence he started. You see,
look at it, that it's just a mixed message of here. In other words, it's not one over outpowering the other, it's just he has it mixed up.
So let me ask you the following question. When you say Aaron is mixed up, what do you mean?
I mean, are in both cases, yeah. He's mixed up.
Obviously he's mixed up. But what I'm
saying both about the same carbon.
Right, obviously he's mixed up. But I want to ask you the following. I'm going to give you two possibilities. One possibility is to say that, you know what, he wanted to do both. That was his goal.
There is no such a way of doing both.
There is a way of doing both, believe it or not.
Okay.
And what we could do is we could split the carbon into two. And half would be Pesach and half would be Shlomim. And there is such a thing. For example, we're going to have a case where a man has machshava that half his zayis of the basar should be Ola and the other half of his zayis should be Shlomim. And he actually has the power to do so. Just that instead of saying it in one breath, let half his eyes be this and half his eyes be that, or maybe he doesn't even know that he can split the carbon in half. He said, let it be both this and that.
You can split all carbonos, or that's...
Well, again, we're not talking... You see, it depends on what you're asking. If you're asking about what's going to be the ultimate status of the carbon, that's called yira ad shiyastayev. And we're going to have to wait till the animal gets a mum, and then we're going to sell the carbon, and we're going to use half of its money for shlomim and half for ola. You follow what I'm saying? If that's your question. But if you're asking whether both machshavos register, and therefore there's a kedushas carbon that includes both kedushas, the hegdesh, the kedushas carbon of this and the kedushas carbon of that, my answer to you at this point is yes, you can actually do such a thing. But there's another way of learning our Mishnah, and that is that this man decided to change his mind. Do you follow what I'm saying here? In other words, it wasn't that he tried, you know, desperately to be mechil two kedushas on the same carbon, both Pesach and Shlomim, which might be able to coexist, and then we split the carbon or we sell the carbon and so forth and so on. But it could be that this individual had in mind that he changed his mind. Now, if he changed his mind, then I begin to understand very clearly the first case in the Mishnah, Lishmo, and then Shelo Lishmo. Because if he changed his mind, maybe he rescinds his original Kavanah, which was Lishmo, and replaces it with the Kavanah Shelo Lishmo. That's why, hence, the carbon is possible. But alternatively, I could say something entirely different. I could say, if this man is changing his mind, then once the carbon is possible, it's too late to change your mind. So let's go to the Sefer. Shelo Lishmo, and then Lishmo. What happens the very split second that he has a Kavanah of Shelo Lishmo? The carbon automatically becomes what? Possible. And now he wants to retract it and somehow resurrect the carbon from the dead, so to speak, and be Machsheh the carbon by having a Machsheves Lishmo. That he can't do. So there's so many different ways of interpreting out Mishnah.
And it doesn't matter if it's Tokhidei Dibur.
Excellent.
That?
We're going to get to Tokhidei Dibur. That's called Rabbi Meir Shita, who says Tfos Lashon Rishon, that even if he said the second statement, Tokhidei Dibur, the first statement, if the second statement is irreconcilable with the first statement, it indicates a change of heart, then we don't apply Tokhidei Dibur. Tokhidei Dibur is going to apply in the case of Eidus, where a person wants to rescind his Eidus. But if a person wants to add another Kedusha to this Karmon and say, well, I want it to be a Pesach, then Rabbi Meir is going to apply the principle to Tfos Lashon Rishon. But before we get to the Rabbi Meir, which is coming up right away, let's just read the last part of the Mishnah. Ketzad, what is the case of Lishmo v'shalo Lishmo? So the Mishnah explains that when he started his Avodah, the beginning of the Avodah, he had in mind L'shem Pesach. Then when he got to the second part of his Avodah, or perhaps another Avodah, he had L'shem Shlomim. And what's the Ketzad of Shalo Lishmo and Lishmo? He started the Avodah with Machshav L'shem Shlomim, and that's called Shalo Lishmo, and then he had in mind L'shem Pesach. Okay, now we're ready for Rav Papa. Boy, Rav Papa. Rav Papa wants to understand this Mishnah. When the Mishnah says Lishmo Shelo Lishmo, or Lishmo and so forth, then when the Mishnah says Lishmo Shelo Lishmo, or Shelo Lishmo and Lishmo, and the carbon is possible, is it A, Bavoda Achas Tnan? The Mishnah is referring to a change of heart, so to speak, within the same Avodah. Again, I have a little bit of a technical, shall I say, a logistical problem here, because Shechita is really instantaneous. But there is such a thing as a machshava between one siman and the other siman. You know, in Shechita he has to cut two siman, the kan and the veshet. And in between the kan and the veshet, he took a deep breath and he changed his tune. And he declared that, no, it's not going to be shlom, it's going to be pesach. Or it's not going to be pesach, it's going to be shlom, whatever it might be. Or maybe the Mishnah is talking about a case where he started with, let's say, Shechita, and he had a machshav of Shechita l'shem Pesach, or l'shem Shlomim, and then when he got to the Zrikas Adam, or the Kabbalah, whatever he got up to, he changed his mind, and instead of l'shem Pesach, it was l'shem Shlomim, or instead of l'shem Shlomim, l'shem Pesach. And now the Gemara tries to analyze what are the two tzadim in Rav Papa's Sofek. B'avoda aches tnan, what's the push in favor of b'avodas Then the Mishnah is talking about a case where he had two machshavos l'shem Pesach l'shem Shlomim in the course of one single avoda. And what's the push in that direction? And then we're going to say that, well, let's pick up either the first part of his sentence if it was l'shem Shlomim, or the second part of his sentence in the second case where it was l'shem Shlomim. Then our Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. The Omar Af Bigmar Dvarav Adam Nitpas. Rabbi Yossi, and we'll see the sources in Masechta Tmura, rejects the opinion of Rabbi Meir. We mentioned before Rabbi Meir, we're going to have him in just the next line. Rabbi Meir says Tfos Loshon Rishon, that when a person says two contradictory things, we hold him responsible, so to speak. Well, what do we validate? It's the first statement. Comes along Rabbi Yossi, says no, give a person a chance to finish his statement. And basically, even when you have a contradiction between what he started with and what he ended with, those are simply two parts of a whole. And we're going to grab on to the entire whole, and we're going to see, and we're going to validate both machshavos. Okay, what's the original case of the machlokus between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir? In Masechta Tmura, we have the Parsha of Tmura. The Torah says that if you have a karbon in front of you, and you have another behema that's a behemas chulin, and you point to the behemas chulin, and you say, you declare harezu tmuras zu, your intention, your hope was to transfer the kedusha from one animal over to the other animal. So first you were makdish Elsie the cow, and then you realize, hey, wait a minute, I'm very attached to Elsie the cow. Let me see if I can transfer the kedusha over to another carbon, over to another animal. That you can't do. But yet your tmura is effective, whether you like it or not. And the second carbon now gets invested with the same identical kedusha as the first carbon. So now, instead of transferring, you get both of them. Instead of replacement, you get what I call cloning, if you can imagine that word. That's called tmura. So, for example, if he has a carbon ola, and he points to the chulin, and he says, harezu tmura zu, so the second carbon, meaning the carbon's chulin, becomes an ola. If he has a shlomim in front of him, and he says, harezu tmura shlomim, then it becomes a shlomim. Again, it doesn't affect or in any way undermine the original karma.
How do you do tamura?
Just the declaration.
No, I'm saying, is there a way of transferring?
No.
There's no way.
Only in psuli amukdashim, only in the karma posel. Then that's called pidyon, because then the kedusha goes down from kedusha saguf to kedusha sadomin. But in kedusha saguf, there's no such thing as pidyon by definition.
What's the halacha of tamura? Just this?
Tamura has two halachas. Number one, he gets malchus for violating the law of tamura. Number two, the second karma, which he wanted to make into the ola to replace the first right. ola, becomes mukdash b'kedusha right. ola with the exact same dinim of right. ola. Okay. Now the man said the following. This is the machlokus between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. Harezo tmuras ola, rezu tmuras shlomim. He's got two animals in front of him. One, he has three animals in front of him. He has a carbon ola, he has a carbon shlomim, and he has a behemas chulin. He turns the behemas chulin and he says, harezu tmuras ola, harezu tmuras shlomim. And here we have machlokis. Rabbi Meir says it becomes an ola. Why? Because the first thing that came out of his mouth was tmuras ola, and that's called tfos loshon rishon. Rabbi Yossi says that it has both kedushos. It's going to be both ola and shlomim. The Gemara goes on to say that technically you cannot have a carbon that's both ola and shlomim. So as I said earlier, we're going to sell it after it gets a mum, and then we're going to split the money and buy with half the funds an ola and half the funds a shlomim. That's according to Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi holds that bigmar devarav adam nitfas. Now, we could say the following. That what Rabbi Yossi means by Bigmar Dvarav Adam Nitfas is that a human being is not capable of saying two things simultaneously. Only the Ribbono Shel Olam is capable of doing that. On the 6th of Sivan, we're getting very close. Right? He said, "All Aseres Adibros B'Dibur Echad, Mashapeh Eino Yochel L'Daber." So he wanted to say, "Harezu Shlom, Harezu Olam," but he can't say that, right? It's impossible. So he slowed down a little, but he said, "Arezu tmur sol, arezu tmur shlamim." But what he really meant to say that this karbon should be both an ola and a shlamim. And in that sense, we have to say that bigmar dvarim adam nitfas. Rabbi Meir jumps in and he says, "Wait a minute, tfos loshen rishon," which means that the very second that he made the first statement, namely Arezu Tmuras Ola, the Chalos Kedushas Ola is grafted onto the, not transferred, but grafted on or cloned onto this carbon. Now once it's an Ola, it can no longer be what? A Shlamim. So when he says Arezu Tmuras Ola Tmuras Shlamim, we view it as two different statements. The first statement is Tofes, is Chal, and therefore Tfos Lashon Rishon, and it can no longer be, it's no longer possible to say that it's a Tmura Shlomit. So whereas Rabbi Meir defines this carbon as a Tmuras Ola from A to Z, from beginning to end, the Shita of Rabbi Yossi is that it's both a Tmuras Ola and a Tmura Shlomit, it's both Ola and Shlomim, and we'll do with it whatever we have to do with it. Now, Rav Papa, in his first tzad, which is called Bavoda Achas Tnan, is going to accept the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, and therefore we're going to have both a lishma and a shalol lishma. In other words, he's being oker the karbon by having a l'shem shlamim, and that passes the karbon Pesach. Whereas, according to Rabbi Meir, at least in one case out of the two, namely where if he had shalol lishma and then lishma, the karbon would certainly be possible. Why? Because tfos lashon rishon. That's what the Gemara says now. De'i Rabbi Meir, if this mishnah would reflect the sheet of Rabbi Meir, and in a minute we'll see what happens in one avodah, but now we're talking about two avodos, ha'amar tfos lashon rishon. Which means that the carbon in the case of Tmuras Ola, Tmuras Shlomim is Ola and not Shlomim. And therefore we tofes the Tchilas Dvarov and not the Sof Dvarov. And therefore the Chalos now is generated by the Tchilas Dvarov, Dvarov HaRishonim. And therefore it's Tmuras Ola, not a Tmuras Shlomim. In our Mishnah, that within one Avodah had two Machshavos that contradict each other, then we're going to see this as a contradiction. And we're going to grab on to and validate the first machshava. So if the first machshava was l'shem Pesach, then we could be machshir the karbon. If on the other hand the first machshava was l'shem shlomim, then the karbon Pesach is possible. The Mishnah says in both cases the karbon is possible. That reflects the shita of Rabbi Yossi, who says bigmar dvarav adam nitfas, and therefore he has in mind, in no matter what sequence, that this should be l'shem shlomim, and that's a machshava of shinui hashem that passes the karbon. O Dilma, or shall we say we're now on the top of daf samach amid aleph? Should we say b'shtei avodos tanan? Now, what are we going to gain by shtei avodos? The Gemara analyzes Rav Papa as meaning that if it's shtei avodos, then even Rabbi Meir would agree that in this case it's going to be a carbon puzzle. And the Mishnah can be attributed just as easily to Rabbi Meir as it is to Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because if it's shtei avodos, then afilu Rabbi Meir diomar tfos lashon rishon, that when a person makes two contradictory statements, we take the first statement and we leave out the second. Hani, meaning that only applies by avoda achas. Abel b'shtei avodos mode demifsal. So what's the difference now that the Gemara is making here between one avodah, then we apply the principle of Meir that the two machshavas are sosra zuzu and you pick up the first machshava, as opposed to two different avodos. Oh. So in the case of two different avodos, we don't have to postulate and analyze what do we do with the stira. Should we take the first? Should we take the second? Rabbi says we take the first. Forget about that. If there are two avodos, then in one avodah, he had a machshava shalol lishma. And if in one avodah, and I don't care if it was the first or the second, he had a full-fledged machshava of shalol lishma for l'shem shlamim, then that avodah alone, independently, will generate the psul of the karmon. And then Rabbi Meir would accept our Mishnah that it matters not whether he had it in this sequence, he started with Pesach and then he went to Shlomim, or he started with Shlomim and then he went to Pesach. The only difference is at what point in time, in a fractional difference of time, would the carbon have become possible. But clearly if there was an Avodah L'Shem Shlomim, that's called Shalom L'Shmah, the carbon is possible. Even Rav Meir would agree.
But according to Rav Meir, if he first said L'Shem Pesach, and then he said L'Shem Shlomim, and we're saying it was a case where with one avoda.
Oh, you're going back to one avoda.
And Rav Meir holds toughest lashon
rishon.
So it should be a kosher pesa. Kosher.
Correct.
Pesa.
And therefore, our Mishnah in one avoda could not reflect the sheet of Rav Meir, because the Mishnah says lishma v'shalo lishma.
Right.
That sequence, the carbon is possible.
Right.
Rav Meir could accept that theoretically, but only in shtei avodos.
Right.
Because if the shechita, for example, was done l'shma, l'shem Pesach, then he did the Kabbalah Saddam l'shem Shlomim, there's an avoda now that was done shalom l'shma, and that passes the Korban Pesach even according to Rav Meir. When does Rav Meir have a problem with Tfos Lashon Rishon? When you have to integrate the two Lashonos and they contradict each other. For example, this Korban is it Tmuras Ola? You want it to be in replacement for that Korban, which is an Ola, or is it Tmuras Shlomim? And the answer is, the man changed his mind, but once he had the Lashon Rishon L'Shem Tmuras Ola, that's what counts. And therefore, in our Mishnah, in the case of one Avodah, Rabbi Meir is going to insist Tfos Lashon Rishon. So later on, when he had a Machshava Basof of Shalom Lishma L'Shem Shlomim, then in such a case, that wouldn't pass the Korban. Why? Because Tfos Lashon Rishon, we completely ignore and disqualify the second Lashon. So our Mishnah could only reflect the Shita of Rabbi Meir if we're talking about two different Avodos. Because then, he has a full-fledged Machshava Posels of Shalom Lishma L'Shem Shlomim in one of the Avodos. And that Avodah is totally, exclusively dedicated to Shlomim, that passes the Korban. So if we would want to square our Mishnah even with Rabbi Meir, then we'd have to say that we're talking about Shtei Avodos. If, on the other hand, our Mishnah is talking about Avodah Achas, and now we're going to try to analyze our Mishnah and see if we can determine that in Avodah Achas we can only understand the Mishnah which passels the Korban Pesach in both directions if it reflects the Shita Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Meir would never passel the Korban in both directions if it's one Avodah, because then he would apply the principle of Tfos Lashon Rishon and the Korban would be kosher. So now the Gemara clarifies. Ahei. Let's see if we can determine and answer up this suffix, ahei, what is the din of our Mishnah? Inema ashalo lishma v'lishmo. If we're going to say, ahei means in which case in the Mishnah, because we have two scenarios of shalo lishmo, is Rav Papa vacillating back and forth? If it's the case of shalo lishmo and lishmo, and in this case Rav Papa has a suffek, so again he started with the machshava of shalo lishmo and then he had a machshava of lishmo, is then bein b'avoda achas, bein b'shtei avodos, bein l'Rabbi Meir, bein l'Rabbi Yossi, if so leh mikamaisa. Once he had the first machshava, which was machshava shalo lishmo, then it's clear, undeniably, in all cases and according to everyone, that would pass the karma. Because the very moment he starts his avoda with a machshava of l'shem shlomim, or shalom l'shma, everybody would agree that machshava generates a psul karma. It's a machshava poseles. And therefore, it would definitely be possible, and here we have to add, even according to Rabbi Yossi, because again, you know, he started with the machshav of shalom lishma, but now he sort of changed his mind. He wants to backtrack, and he calls it lishma. To hal Rabbi Yossi nami, even according to Rabbi Yossi, who maintains that af begmar dvarav adam nitfas, Rabbi Yossi doesn't mean that he changes his mind and he can invalidate or rescind his original lashon. That's not what Rabbi Yossi says. Rabbi Yossi says that the Gemar Dvarav is equally as significant as the Tchilas Dvarav, but it doesn't have the power to violate or invalidate the original Dibur. And therefore, since his original first dibur was shalo lishma, even Rabbi Yossi would have to agree that in this case, the avoda is possible. And even in the case of one avoda, once he starts that avoda for shalo lishma, then he generates a psul through that machshava of l'shem shlom shalo lishma in the carbon possel. Ella, but if Rav Pop has a safek, it's got to be in the case of alishmo v'shalo lishmo. He never, at the beginning, initially, he did not engender a psul of shalo lishmo. He started with a machshava l'shem Pesach, then he added a machshava l'shem shlomim. My, in this case, what are we talking about? Are we talking about one avoda? And now his machshava at the end of shalo lishmo registers of Yehol, like Rabbi Yossi, who holds on gemar. What's it called? Agmar Dvar of Nami Adam Nitfas, and therefore the carbon is possible. And therefore, if we're talking about what Avodah says for Papa Mishnah, must be authored by whom? By Rabbi Yossi. We have no other possibility. Rabbi Meir would certainly say, in the case of Avodah Achas, that he's trying to change his mind, which he can't do, and Tfos Lashon Rishon. Or, says Rav Papa, can we possibly interpret the Mishnah as referring to Shtei Avodos? And then even Rav Meir would agree that since in the second Avodah he had a Machshava Shalo Lishma L'Shem Shlomim, it passes the Karbon. Toshma, let's go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, HaPesach Sheshchato Shalo Lishma V'kibel V'hilech V'zorak Shalo Lishma, in any of the four Avodos, a Machshava of Shalo Lishma, meaning L'Shem Shlomim, passes the Karbon. Hechi Dami, what is the case that the Mishnah is addressing? E nema kirik tani. If we'll take the pashtus, the simple, straightforward, simple lashon of Mishnah, that he had a machshava of shalo lishma in the avodos. Let's say, for example, if somebody would argue that he had a machshava shalo lishma in all four avodos, e nema kirik tani. If you're going to read the vav as a vav hamachaber, not a vav hamachalek. So when it says vikibel, he means and at the time of Kabbalah Saddam, not or, but and. Then I have a question to ask you. Lomali ademachashiv lekula. Why would the Mishnah say that the carbon is only possible because he had a machshava on machshavas psul of shloshma on all the avodos? Is mekamaisa ipsule? Once in the first avoda, he had a machshavas psul. Then who cares what machshava he has afterwards, subsequently, if that avoda called shechita was done l'shem Pesach, excuse me, l'shem shlomim, that already passes the karbon. So why do you have to tell me and make this stipulation that he had a machshava shalo lishma in the second avoda, the third avoda, el alav? But rather, we have to assume hachik tani ha-pesach sheshchato shalo lishma inami. Now it changes the vav from a vav hamachaber to a vav hamachalik. Or he had a machshava, even though the shechita was lishma, of kabbalah sadam, or alternatively halach sadam, or alternatively zrika sadam shalo lishma. Is then in all these cases above the carbon is possible in any of those cases? Inami shchato, and it goes the other way around. Let's say he had the shchita, the kabbal, and halach lishmo, but then we got up to the zriki, had a zriki shalol lishmo, that also passes the carbon. So you see that the Mishnah is operating with the principle of havile shtei avodos. The Mishnah is delegating or divvying up for each avoda a machshava. So either he had a machshava shloshma in this avoda at the very beginning, or in the middle, or at the end, and he had a machshava shloshma in the other avodos. It doesn't matter. The Mishnah says that's called Pesach shalo lishma, which is either shchita or kabbalah or zrika halacha. You see, we're separating the avodos into many different avodos. Each one is being granted its own machshava, which means that even though he has machshava sosros, the Mishnah says he had lishma in three out of the four, even, but nevertheless the machshavos are so to speak separated out, because every avoda deserves its own machshava. And even if he started with a machshava reuya, meaning a machshava l'shem Pesach, since at the At the next avodah, or the last avodah, he had a machshava haposelis l'shem shlamim, the carbon is possible. So if that part of the Mishnah is clearly talking about machshavas hasosros, contradictory machshavas in different avodos, then we should also apply the same yardstick to the sefer. Usually a Mishnah, to maintain its integrity, the end of the Mishnah is the same as the beginning of the Mishnah, at least in terms of the framework.
But how do you know that it's, in other words, it's saying all these different, in other words, a problem with the machshava in any of these four
avodos
is a problem.
Great, impossible.
Okay. But how do you know it's not saying, or let's say he had the mixed machshava during Zrika, or the mixed machshava during Kabbalah. It's a problem. It's not just the first thing, it's not just the Shnita, it's every single one of those things. But it doesn't mean that it has to be one kavana on one of those, and another kavana on another one.
So Jeff, this is what I think the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that the chiddush of the Mishnah is that any of the avodos could passel the carbon with the machshava poselis. Now, the Mishnah wants to say, don't think that since he did this avoda with the right kavana, therefore when he gets to the second avoda, he can have the wrong kavana. Don't think if he had the wrong kavana at the beginning, then he can have a right kavana afterwards, or the other way around. Meaning, the Mishnah wants to say that there are four primary avodos, and any one of those avodos, any single one of them, could have a machshava poselis. That's the way the Gemara is learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't seem to indicate that he had two machshavas and two avodos, because the Mishnah is listing four avodos. And the Mishnah is telling you about each one of those avodos that inherently it has a machshava poselis. What time is it?
9:30.
So I'll just read one more line if we can open the door, and we'll see if they're up to my review. Ema seifa lishmo v'shalo lishmo hechido. Okay, so we'll remind ourselves that this is where we're up to, so that in Mirtz Hashem we'd be able to understand how the Gemara is going to try to prove from our Mishnah that the Mishnah is talking about Avoda Achas, because again, since the Reish is talking about Shtei Avodos, if the Seif was also talking about Shtei Avodos, it would basically be a repeat of the Reish. We don't like repeats, and that's what the Gemara calls Hainu Reish. Okay, then?
It still bothers me. Yeah. Well,
daven Ma'ariv, and then maybe we'll talk after Ma'ariv. Okay, then you davened already. I didn't daven yet. You already counted Sfira, I imagine.
Yeah.
Wow. You're a Zoriz, you know.